All right, we have Myron Anksman on the line again. We're into a pretty exciting time in the race. We got teams into Uniclet. What's your take on the race so far, Myron?
It's sure shaking out right now, and it looks like the people that went through to Ruby are definitely contenders at this point to win. And the other person that I think is most serious contender to win is Allie Zirkel. She's not only at first in the Uniclet, but obviously has been having strong runs to get there. And I think Martin Boozer's speed is a little off and will not be able to hang with the faster teams now. Pettit, I would say his disadvantage will be a lack of experience at this kind of situation before. And then that's pretty much it. Those people that I just mentioned are the ones that are in the running. The fastest of those is King, and he might be just a little bit further back than he wanted to be, but moving.
Well, when you say this kind of a position for Boozer, what do you mean exactly?
Well, I was talking about Pettit.
Oh, Pettit.
Not been in the position of being among the leaders at Uniclet, and that's a very intense situation, and every little screw-up hurts, you know, a great amount if you do that. And so the ones with more experience that coming across from Uniclet are going to be in better shape.
Sure.
And it seemed to slow down a little bit this afternoon, and that's also some concern.
Right. Well, while we're talking about strategy, as I've been watching this, there seems to be a couple of different groups in terms of, can you talk about, first off, how do they come up with 16 dogs in a team to start the Iditarod?
Well, there is a little history there. It was, at one time, unlimited. And that changed after 1981 when Sam and Ramey started with 32. And he had a huge sled with little compartments so that he could carry 12 dogs at a time. His plan was to carry 12 most of the time, and then when he got to a certain point in the race, I think about halfway, he was going to break out those 12, and they were going to race him to Nome and win. And it was a bit of a fiasco. He had to stop with a chainsaw and widen the trail a few places. And,
oh, man.
And there was concern that his 12 were not adequately contained in this big sled.
Oh, my goodness. That's a huge amount of dogs. 32 dogs on one team. How big was the sled?
Huge. It was a men's sled. I saw it. And it was similar in size to the one that started the ceremonial race in Anchorage this year. But they stopped him, and Swenton made him switch to a regular sled and a smaller team. He dropped like 16 or 18 dogs or something like that.
Unbelievable.
He went on, and then they changed the rule. And I may be a little uncertain as to what they changed it to, but I think for a while they had it at either 20 or 18, and then they decided to drop it to 16 because of the two reasons. I was on the board back in those days, by the way, so I have some knowledge of things that were discussed. One of the reasons was, and the most important, was that when you get too many dogs in the race, you have too many drop dogs, and the logistics of that for the Iditarod is an immense problem. Controlling when the checkpoints, getting back to Anchorage, you know, all of that is a great big problem, and the more dogs you have, the more of a problem it is. So that was one of the reasons. And the second reason was is the as the situation developed, it became apparent that you didn't need that many dogs to race the Iditarod. Rick Swenson in 79 started the race with 12 dogs and won. And so there started to be a belief that too many dogs was actually poor form. It didn't give good enough care to all the dogs, and it sort of suggested they were disposable as you went along, kind of. And so they settled on 16 as a good number, and it stayed there.
So when you're you know, it's not a worry, but I mean, when you see some of these teams with 8 or 10 dogs early on in Nikolai, do you see that as a worry? Or, I mean, and as a musher, do you anticipate trimming your team down as you go along?
Well, there are two ways of looking at that. In modern days, they consider it a problem if you get down to 8 or 10 dogs early. But that's a change in thinking, and I haven't been around enough to know whether or not it's a legitimate change in thinking, enough on the trail, that is. But it is clear that in the earlier years, guys would do really well with smaller teams, including a lot of people who have finished the race in, you know, kind of high positions with 7 or 8 dogs. Now, that has changed some in the recent years, but you don't need a dozen dogs to go at a particular speed. The you know, 8 dogs really does move you along at a pretty good clip. And the other side of that is 8 dogs are much easier to care for than 16 dogs. And it also, there's a feeling of, hey, this is a small team, we're all kind of pulling together here. The front end is close to the back end, and they're all close to the musher. There's a lot better control. There's a lot better sort of a common purpose there when you've got a smaller team. And many times I have preferred having a smaller team because it seemed like you got down to the dogs that were all kind of balanced and matched, and everything seemed to work a little better.
Right. You know, the thing that I was thinking about this afternoon is horsepower, I guess, and I guess that what you've kind of hit on is that's not really the case, where if you had more dogs, you would go longer, further, faster, any of that type of stuff. So in this kind of a trail where now we've gone from a seriously fast trail where we're seeing 13 miles an hour as an average speed between New Lotto and Caltag, when you get to a trail where the conditions aren't perfect and they are a struggle, where you've got dirt and all these different things, will the teams that have the larger number have an advantage at that point because they do have more, or are you saying, or what do you think about that?
Well, I do think that if it's hard pulling, and usually by that I mean deep snow or loose snow, then I think the bigger team has an advantage. I don't think there's any question of that. But if it's hard, fast trail like they've got right now, ice and frozen snow, a couple sizes of teams are all going to run about the same speed. They're going to go whatever speed they want because once you get the sled moving, there's hardly any drag.
Well, what about when, I guess my concern is up the coast where they're going to be on gravel at some spots, possibly. Does that still hold true?
Well, it does. I mean, gravel, of course, is very hard pulling. There isn't a whole lot of gravel on the race, but there's surely been some.
Yeah, from what I understand, it.
By the way, Andy tells me that they're coming into Uniquita on pretty much Bethel-style ice.
Yeah, it's ice and grass and that kind of thing. So what you're saying then is that an 8-dog team or a 14-dog team at this point in the race is fairly evenly matched?
Yeah, in this kind of a trail this year, fairly even. Especially if it's not a heavy musher. Sometimes on the uphill it makes a difference, especially if the musher is riding a sled uphill. But it is not like, oh my gosh, how am I going to go with 8 dogs? Because there have been Wild Ways with five dogs. Warner Vent finished second with five dogs in this race one time.
No kidding. Well, what's your take on the speed? We're looking at least 12 hours. We won't break the 8 day, but it's going to be an early 8. The way I'm looking at it, if the trail stays as fast as it is, we're going to see a Monday night finish. When you ran the race, do you remember how many days it took you?
Oh, yes, I do. I can't say I remember every day, but I can sure remember the total, 18 days and quite a few hours.
And could you ever think that somebody could trim 10 days off of that?
Oh, no. At the time, the winning time that year was 15 days. That was Rick Swenson. The record was then 14 days. And there were a number of factors. I mean, surely we assumed that dogs were going to get better and, you know, things were going to get better. But I would have never dreamed this. But it wasn't too long until you started seeing that things were greatly different. The one factor that slowed everybody down the year I went was that it was very difficult to travel on nighttime trails when there was either blowing snow or fresh snow, because it blew the trail in and the markers were too far apart. And if you couldn't see the trail, you had no idea where to go because you couldn't see the next marker. So there are two or three times that I had to just wait for morning until I could see the next marker, which was, you know, a quarter mile away or whatever.
And how many, do you remember how many folks were in the race at that time? I mean, right now they started with 69, and they're strung out from pretty near Cripple to Unicleet, which is a really long ways.
56 teams started the year I raced, and I can't remember how many scratched, but they got pretty well strung out as well.
Sure. Well, thanks for your time, Myron. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, bye.
Bye.